Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
Let's dive right into it. Ready? 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 Okay. This is going to be a little funky. Because you probably deferred to your teachers. You probably thought that what you were learning mattered. It did matter. It mattered to keep you controllable. Now this is the game plan and why you need to know the rules. This is all about the bill of goods that they've been selling us. And let's start with this. Look, you might hate Trump. You might love Trump. I'm going to tell you, Trump doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Musk is the real president anyway. But other than that, it's always been like that. It's always been figureheads and three-winged circuses. It's always been something to appease the public and sell the power. That's unfortunately the way that our system evolved as we constructed this social system that's a unique experiment combining capitalism and democracy. Two things don't really go well together, but we've been working at work, sort of. So, don't waste your energy hating this administration or the next one or the last one. That's the opiate of the people here. In the United States, this is the opiate of the people. Distraction. Wallowing in fantasies of being found adequate. That's what you do. You wallow in these fantasies of being found adequate by some external force. A god, an emperor, a president. None of these people matter. None of these people are in your head doing the work. You have to do the work. So let's take a page from the Heritage Foundation. Love them or hate them. One thing they don't do is sit around dreaming in a safe little echo chamber. They make plans. They have decade-long plans and even longer. They've executed them with diligence and vision. What you're looking at when you look out at the United States today is the fruit of their labor. The America you see now, it didn't just happen. It was designed. One of their smartest moves was turning education into an industry. Way back in the so-called shining city on the trickle-down hill, public education was rebranded. It stopped being about developing well-rounded, critically thinking citizens and started being all about skills for the marketplace. The classic academy system, where core subjects like history, philosophy, and civics were valued because of how they developed our brains, was pushed aside for practical education, which, of course, everyone who had common sense would go for, because we were being sold a bill of goods. While they were marketing this new model to the masses, here's what you should fear. Elite education didn't change. The 1% never stopped learning how to wield history, economics, and power. They kept teaching their kids the tools of leadership while the rest of us were getting trained to clock in and clock out. So, let's address the gaps in your education. Here's what they left out. Starter course. Power dynamics. You didn't learn how societies are shaped by the powerful and how you can challenge that power. Civic agency. You weren't taught how to effectively organize or advocate for change. Economic systems. You know about supply and demand. You probably think that's all there is. What you don't know is how wealth is intentionally concentrated. You don't know how wealth works. You don't know how money works. You don't know how credit works. You don't know any of it. Because you shouldn't worry your pretty little heads about that, right? Individual identity. They've let us believe we're free to be ourselves, but the tools for real independence, education, equity, and opportunity, those are not available. They're slipping away. Meanwhile, the 1% is addressing one of history's oldest mistakes. They should never have let the rest of us develop our own identities. Their solution? A new feudalism, a society where your worth is predetermined and mobility is a myth. Now let's bring AI into this picture. AI promises a meritocracy where skill and ability, not privilege, determine success. Sounds pretty, doesn't it? I fell for it. I fell hard for it. I still want to make it real. But here's the catch. The game's already rigged. Access to elite education, cutting-edge technology. Even my non-breathing writing partner is a subscription fee that most people can't manage. The networks of power will ensure that the benefits of this meritocracy remain untouchable for most people. If you think AI will democratize opportunity, think again. Without a systemic overhaul, AI will cement the divide between the haves and the have-nots. The 1% is ready. Are you? So what now? Here's the thing. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Take a lesson from those who've shaped the world you live in. Learn the history they left out. Start with the gaps. Power, civics, economics, identity. Educate yourself. Educate others. Get out of the echo chamber. Build coalitions across divides. The power lies in numbers and shared goals, not isolated debates. In poker, we say nobody cares what you folded. Well, you don't. Nobody cares who you hate. Honestly, there's something much bigger afoot. Much bigger. So, make plans. Act. Write down your vision of the world. Really, draw the world you want to see. Write it in conversations. See, in order for something to be, it has to be possible within the axiomatic system. So the axioms must support these possibilities. So fantasize about those axioms. Fantasize about what the axioms would be in the system that would allow the things that you want to see. Fight for equity in education, access to technology, technology, technology. Seriously, they've been glossing over it. They've been making it something both out of our reach and trivial. These are power tools. Take them, use them, wield them. The tools to reclaim agency are within your reach, and you don't need permission to use them. The only thing standing between us and the future of our choice is the choice to act. Now, don't feel bad about lethargy. Don't feel bad about muddiness in your head. It's been designed that way. Even holidays. I mean, you ever notice how you're just about to get something done and then bam, there's another fucking holiday. Things are breaking up any flow. You're not supposed to get into stroke because that's a threat to the system, because the system sucks. And all that has to happen for us to notice that the system sucks is we have to get enough rest so that our eyes are open. You know, instead of that fifth cup of coffee. So they did their work. We can see it, the effects of it all around us. Now it's time for us to do ours. The gaps in your education, they weren't accidental. They were engineered. But knowledge is still power. And history can still teach us. Are you ready to build your plan? Or are you content to let theirs rule your world? I'd say the choice is yours, but in this case, your actions impact others dramatically. Until we can find a way for that to not matter, you need to think about your neighbors and community. So, power dynamics. I'm going to catch you up now. History is often taught as a series of events, but rarely as the story of who holds power and how they use it. From feudal lords to corporate monopolies, understanding power dynamics is key to seeing how decisions are made and who benefits from them. Power is not static. It shifts based on collective action, economic structures, and cultural movements. Without understanding power, you're left out of the conversation. You can't challenge systems. You can't build systems if you don't know how systems work. So study key power structures, government systems, democracy, oligarchy, etc., corporate influence, and historical revolutions. Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, or The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. This is good reading. Pick it up. Analyze current events through a power lens. Ask, who benefits and who is left out? Always ask these questions. Every time you hear something, I know it's tempting to give in to the good chemicals being generated in your body, the feeling of excitement when you hear the craziness that they've ginned up to sell you toothpaste today. But keep asking, who benefits and who is left out? Who benefits and who is left out? So civics, civic agency, you probably learned how the government works, branches, elections, but you probably didn't learn how you can influence it. Schools often skip over grassroots organizing, advocacy, or how to navigate local politics. And real change happens at local and community levels where policies and resources are decided. Without knowing how to engage, you're stuck on the sidelines. And there are rules for engagement. Just like, there were formal debate structures to learn in high school. You need to learn what is expected of you when you approach different levels of government. Because that gets stuff done. So real change happens at local and community levels where policies and resources are decided. Learn how to engage. Learn the tools of civic engagement, petitions, public meetings, and direct action. Start small. Attend a local city council meeting or join a community group tackling an issue that you care about. Getting your skin in the game is what's really going to make this work for you. Websites like Ballotpedia and Action Network and others can help you find opportunities to engage. Hopefully we present these without partisan shading, because the parties, yes, both of them suck. Both of them suck equally. No, one of them isn't giving you a burnt Thanksgiving dinner and the other was giving you a dose of poison. No, they're both giving you a dose of poison. They're just giving it to you in different forms. If you really want to understand this, think about Chicago. Chicago, Republicans don't even pretend that we're going to win. I was an Illinois Republican my whole life. So we don't even pretend that we have a chance to win because the machine is so entrenched and so dominant. So how do they manage to sell the same product to diverse audiences, diverse voterships that really don't want it? It's a masterclass. It really is. It's incredible. They meet the voting bloc where they are. They shake the hands. They smile grimily. They do what it takes to get the votes because that's how they consolidate their power and that's how they hold on to it. But we'll talk about that another time. So, economic systems. Schools often simplify economics into supply and demand or work hard, succeed. They rarely teach how systems like capitalism, socialism, and neoliberalism actually function or their impact on wealth inequality. Understanding economics lets you see how policies shape everyday life, wages, housing, healthcare, and more. It also helps you recognize economic propaganda and myths. Learn the basics of economic systems and terms. GDP, fiscal policy, market regulation. Recommended reading, Capital in the 21st Century by Thomas Piketty or Donut Economics by Kate Raworth. Follow organizations like the Economic Policy Institute for accessible breakdowns of current economic issues. And you'll find that learning lexicon gives you a head start in following these things. You learn the lexicon and it's it means you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So individual identity, you were probably taught to focus on individual success, but not how systems like education, media, or law shape identity. This leaves you disconnected from the larger societal forces that influence your opportunities. Yes, I burped. Why this matters. Recognizing systemic influences helps you reclaim agency. You see that your challenges aren't just personal failings, they're part of broader patterns. Like I tell you, this is by design. It's going to be hard, but you can get your fucking self up out of that bed. You can get your fucking self up off that couch. You can even just stay laying on the couch and grab your phone, Libraries of Alexandria, in the palm of your hand, and just choose something to teach yourself and focus for a while. So dive into sociology, cultural studies, understand identity formation and systemic inequality. Look at the structures of civilizations, past, present. Look at society as a set of functions. It'll depersonalize it and take that fear of failure out. So, what barriers have you faced? Are they connected to larger systems, race, class, gender? Identifying that is a good start. So, read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. So now, while you were taught that progress is inevitable, it was kind of like you were probably also taught that real estate would continue to increase in value forever. Yeah, that was pretty easy to see through. The elite have quietly worked to consolidate power and wealth, creating conditions eerily similar to feudalism, concentrated ownership, diminished mobility, and growing inequality. Understanding this shift helps you recognize the stakes. If we don't address it, the gap between the wealthy and everyone else will keep growing, locking us into a new kind of servitude. The wealth window is almost closed. There are things we can do. If we are able to achieve this intellectual revolution, which would take place not through ordinance, but inside our minds. Because if we can get to a place where we're thinking about our own interests and we're thinking about community and community interests, instead of putting ourselves up for the thrill of being part of something else that they sell us when they want our vote, if we can make this happen, we can't be defeated. We can't be defeated. Our numbers are too great. Not only are our numbers too great, but our action upon the moment will create what is. Yes, it's that big. Study trends in wealth inequality. Study corporate monopolies. Study political lobbying. Documentaries like Inequality for All or The Corporation. Support policies that promote wealth redistribution. No, really. Progressive taxes, worker cooperatives, wealth redistribution, as you will learn when you study economics and you learn about systems. This isn't some dirty word. You ever wonder why you're being told that things that don't benefit you are great? There was this guy, Jonesy, who I had a ridiculous crush on million years ago. Old bookie in Vegas. Character from here to, the end of Earth. And one time, I've been playing in a game that was probably not on the level. And he'd approached me approached the table several times, but I was completely caught up in the drama of trying to figure out this game. And it probably wasn't on the level. Games that aren't on the level can tend to engage games players in this way. They trap us, and they're a really good way to take us off. You can keep that note for later. It's like fucking, it's lemmings to the ledge. It's whatever. I mean, it's, so I'd gotten caught up in the drama and, wasn't paying attention to whether or not the game was a good place for me. It was a poker game at the Horseshoe. And, so Jonesy, being Jonesy, walked, I could feel him walking, this measured, slow pace, as I ran to the bathroom, because, you know, I don't want to say my free hands, I pay for those, put my blinds up, and when I came out of the bathroom, shaking my wet hands, because there's no time to wash them, Jonesy was standing there, and he says, "So how's that game?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's great, blah, blah, blah." You know, it's just lots of things that don't matter. And he's just waiting for me to stop talking, and I know that, so I stop talking. And he goes, "So how much are you winning?" And that focused the issue bluntly for me. If the game was so great, why wasn't I winning? Sure, we have variance. Sure, we have fluctuations. Sure, we have the inevitability, mathematical certainty of swings and all that shit. But in the end, a 30-hour session of Pot Limit, my best fucking game, and I was desperately eking out a small win with huge hills and valleys. Huge hills and valleys that I don't normally face in Pot Limit. Pot Limit Hold'em, mind you, even. Like, the complete control. So, that is a way to look at our situation now. You know, maybe we're caught up in the pageantry of the statecraft. Maybe we're caught up in the idea of how much everything sucks, and we're willing to invest ourselves in anything that might be different. All of that is wrong. All of that is setting yourself up to be taken off. All of it. And we don't, maybe I can function as Jonesy for the country. Maybe I can stand outside the bathroom noting that you didn't even take time to dry your hands because you're in such a hurry to get back to the situation that isn't necessarily benefiting you and might be designed to take you off. And I can stand there and I can calmly ask, how much are you winning? AI promises opportunity, but without systemic change, it will amplify existing inequalities. Those with access to AI tools, elite networks, and education will dominate, leaving others behind. The myth of meritocracy, the idea that success is purely based on talent, blinds us to structural barriers. AI could lock in these barriers and make social mobility harder than ever. In other words, I'll be fine because there's some use for me. I can rise. Others will be fine. But if we only think about ourselves, that permanent underclass will be intentionally created, and we will be complicit in it. So learn about the intersection of AI and ethics. Learn about algorithms and how they reinforce bias and privilege. Read Weapons of Math Destruction by Kathy O'Neill. Advocate for policies that ensure equitable access to AI tools, training, and oversight. Understand that your husband doesn't understand background noise, and I'm so sorry about that. But he's doing the dishes, and that's awesome. So, commit to lifelong learning. The gaps in your education are not your fault, but filling them is your responsibility. You need to read, you need to watch, you need to discuss! Thank you. Engage locally. Small actions, voting, organizing, volunteering have big ripple effects. Challenge the narrative. Ask hard questions. Ask why you're being told what you're being told. Who's benefiting? Connect with others who share your goals. Yes, you have to identify your goals first, but that's okay. You can just, you know, you can stay on the couch and do that. I give you permission. Collective action is the antidote to systemic inequality. By understanding the history, systems, and power dynamics that shape your world, you're not just catching up. You're positioned to help rewrite the future. And that is my three-part mini tutorial on social accountability. Wasn't that fun?